Open your Bible to John chapter 9. Let's read verse 39 to begin with. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And I received help from that from someone, and they said, "Christ came into this world that those who are in the darkness of sin, ignorance and unbelief, and who are conscious of that fact, and who desire spiritual sight, may see the glory of God in him. Those that see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Or those who profess themselves to be wise, who fancy themselves to have the key of knowledge and understanding, who deny their sin in the darkness of their nature, they might be given up to judicial blindness and hardness of heart. Sinners will be saved." He came to this world to save sinners. "And the self-righteous will be hardened in their darkness." Here we're going to look at this chapter tonight, and I pray the Lord might open it to us. I tried to speak from this a couple of weeks ago in Madisonville, and I tried to do another message this past week for our radio message. And every time I read this chapter, I just see something more. To see him who came to this world to save sinners and save sinners. We see how he saves sinners in this chapter. He singles out this blind man, this man who's born blind from his birth. A picture of all men by nature who are blind. And when we think about blind, that means that they are ignorant. That means they can't see. They have no understanding. Apart from God's grace, we cannot see, understand anything. We can't understand anything about God or understand anything about ourselves. We think we can see till we find out we can't. Till we find out we can't. Beginning in verse 1. We find out from chapter 8, our Lord is leaving the temple. They wanted to take up stones and stone him. And as he goes out of the temple, he goes through the midst of them and so passed by. And you know what he's doing? He's leaving them alone. He's leaving them in their darkness. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. As he's leaving, he sees this man. This man does not approach our Lord. Our Lord approaches him. And he sees him. Oh, what a blessed day when he sees you in grace. He's leaving the temple. He's leaving these self-righteous, religious people, and he sees this man who's born blind, and he's going to show mercy to this man. Why? Because he will show mercy to whom he will show mercy. But the first thing I see here is in verse 2. Now watch this. Then the disciples ask him, saying, they also see this man that's born blind. And notice the question they ask, "Master, who did sin? This man or his parent that was born blind?" What a stupid question to ask. What does that matter? What do they see? Our Lord's seen a man who needed mercy. And they're saying, "Well, who did sin? This man or his parents that he's born blind? He must be punished for someone's sins, either his or his parents." And I thought, well, did they not see anything? What did they see? What doesn't that describe us? Here's this man, poor blind man, blind from his birth. They say, "Well, who did sin, him or his parents, that he's born blind?" And our Lord said in verse 3, neither. We know he's not saying that neither his parents or this man didn't sin. They're not sinless. They both sinned. All sickness or whatever it is a result of sin. But he said neither. That ain't why this man was born blind. But there was a reason he was born blind. There's a reason that he was here the day that he was here. We're going to see there's a reason that our Lord healed him on a specific day. He said, neither hath this man sinned through his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in this man. That Christ is going to reveal his glory, his great power. Why did our Lord do miracles? These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. You know what blind men need? They need light. They need light. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And he said, I've got a work that needs to be done, and I'm going to finish that work. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. You say, what a strange way to give a man sight. There was no, the miracle was not in the clay. Our Lord making clay from spittle, from dirt, and putting it on this man's eyes. What good can that do? That can't give him sight. And he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went. He did exactly what he was told to do. You know what he did? He acted upon the light God gave him. If he'd have never went, he'd have never received his sight. And he went. He said, go, and he went. And he came back, and this man who had never saw, he sees. You imagine for the first time in your life seeing. I'm talking about spiritually. I see. I can see him when he goes there and puts his hand in the water and begins to wash his eyes. And he said, what's that? I've never seen that. That's a light. And he sees. What example of mercy and grace. And he did exactly what he told him to do. What's going to be the response? We see in this chapter, we see he speaks of neighbors, Pharisees. Then he's going to speak about this man's parents. But the first one, it says the neighbors. Verse 8, therefore when they which before had seen him that he was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? He's not only a blind man, he's a beggar. They know who he is. They saw him. They lived with him. They lived near him. They're his neighbors. And they said, is this not he? Something's different happened about this man. There has been a drastic change in this man. What? He sees. There's no denying he sees. No question about it. And this whole chapter is dealing, everybody wants to push it under the rug. Everybody wants to deny the one who did the healing. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to discredit it. And they said, Is this not he? Some said, well, this is he. Others said, well, it's like him. He resembles him. Yeah, because he's different. You think he looks different? He looks different. He sees. He sees. But you only said, I'm him. I'm the man who sat and begged. I'm the man that you saw that was blind. He said, that's me. That's me. Therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? Now this is what unbelief always does. How? How did this happen? It really doesn't matter. It's who that did it. But everybody wants to know, how did this happen? How did this happen? And he answered, and watch this. A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes, and he said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and washed, and I went and washed, and I received my sight. That's exactly how it happened. A man that's called Jesus anointed my eyes with clay and told me to go wash, and I went and washed, and I come and I see. That's how it happened. That's how it happened. And they, don't you see this? And they said unto him, where is he at? And don't you notice this? In the rest of this chapter, the word know, K-N-O-W, he said, I know not. And he didn't. It's like our Lord put the clay on his eyes, told him to go wash, and our Lord just goes off the scene. He says, this man's never saw him. You think about that. He's never saw him. He said, I don't know where he is. He could walk up in front of me and I don't know him. And he'd be telling the truth. You know what he's saying? He's telling what he does know, and he's not trying to pretend to know something that he doesn't know. That's what we see in this chapter. People try to pretend to know something that they don't even know. They're ignorant to it. You reckon this man knows he was blind? Oh yeah, he knows he's blind. He knows he was blind. And now he knows he sees. And he knows what was told him to do. He knows it. No question about it. Well, they're not done. They bring him, verse 13, to the Pharisees. Him that aforetime was blind. Well, why do you think they're taking him to the Pharisees? They think they're the ones that know. They think they're the ones who have all the answers. Maybe they can unravel this mystery of this man who stands before us that once was blind and now he sees. Maybe they will know. In verse 14, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. You think he did that on purpose? The dim Pharisees... Our Lord's walking through the cornfield one day and they just reach out and get an ear of corn and they criticize him for it. He healed a man one day on the Sabbath day, and they said, well, there's six other days during the week. Why don't you come one of them 6 days? Don't come on the Sabbath day. He did it on purpose. And they don't like it. You know why? They think they know better. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. We want to know what's going on here. How did you get your sight? He said unto them, watch how he says it this time. He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. Now who are they speaking of? They're speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're saying this man is not of God. Why? Because he doesn't keep the Sabbath day. Little do they know. Now who's blind here? These are the people who they could probably quote and recite to you the law. They prided themselves in knowing the law, but they didn't know the one that was the satisfier of the law and the giver of the law. They said, this man's not of God because he doesn't keep the commandments. Others said, well, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Well, if he's such a sinner, how could he do such a miracle? And there was a division among them. And all this is over what? This blind man that sees. There's a division over who did the healing. Well, they said, oh, this man can't be of God. Others said, well, how in the world did he do this miracle? I think in the back of their mind, everybody knows who did the miracle. They just don't like it. I think that's it. They don't like it. They're going to discredit him. They want to say he's an imposter. And they say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. Verse 18, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had ever even been blind. They said, well, he's just never been blind to start with. And they, that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man that had received his sight. So we see the neighbors, they take him to the Pharisees. And the Jews don't believe that he's ever been. Well, let's call his parents. They'll probably know. They know some things, but they don't know how what happened to him. They don't know how it happened, and they don't know who did it. And they ask them, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? You see the sarcasm. Is this your son whom you just say he was born blind? Look what verse 21. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. And they didn't. They are ignorant to it. You imagine this being their son. You picture this child's in this family. They're all blind as bats. They're all spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. And God reaches down in his mercy and just picks up one of his worm, Jacob's. And he shows this man mercy and gives him sight. And this man now sees everybody's confused. Something's happened to this man. God saved him. But what means he now sees, I can't explain it. And they can explain it. You know what this is? This is the mystery of grace. It's a mystery. It's a mystery how we can be sitting in a building like this and God can bypass one and give one sight and leave the other one blind. Isn't that a mystery? What a mystery. Or who hath opened his eyes? We don't know. We don't know how it happened and we don't know who did it. We just don't know. He is of age, ask him. He'll speak for himself. So some believe, you know, he's a grown man. He may have been 30 years old. He'd been blind for 30 years. He said, he's of age, ask him. He probably knows. But you know another reason they ask him? They said, you ask him. These words spake his parents in verse 22 because they feared the Jews. Because the Jews had already agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, that he would be put out of the synagogue. They're going to threaten him. I can see his parents standing before these self-righteous religious men. And in their faces they said, okay, how was your son healed and who healed him? And the whole time they're knowing, if we say it was Jesus Christ that healed our son, they're going to kick us out of this church. And that's exactly how it happens. That's exactly how it happens. They'll take care of you. All this is happening because our Lord showed this one man mercy. And he's also revealing all the blindness of these other people who are blind. You know what? They don't want to see. They don't want to see. Therefore said his parents unto him, he's of age. Then again they called the man that was blind, and they said unto him, give God the praise. Just in a general term, everybody believes in God, and everybody believes in a Jesus. Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. They said, what? We know this man is a sinner. How did they know that? Where did they come up with that idea? They're confessing what they know. Give God the praise. Don't give Christ. Don't say that man healed you. Don't say that Jesus Christ set you free. You can be in the midst of your whole family. They can all be religious and self-righteous and believe in their free wills. But you get in their midst and you give Christ all the glory for setting you free, and they can't stand it. They cannot stand it. Won't you see what this man said? This right here blesses my heart. You see this man, he's standing before him. And he knows too, we're going to see in a minute, he knows that if he confesses Christ, they're going to do the same thing to him that they promised to do to his parents. They're going to throw him out. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. And he's stating the fact. He doesn't know much about, at this point, he doesn't know much about Christ. He said, whether he's a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I do know, one thing I'm very certain of, one thing there's no question about, I was blind and now I see. I know that. I know that. How it happened, I'm not sure. One day God said, live. One day in the miracle of grace, Christ was born in the sinner's heart, and they see. For the first time in their life, they see. Say, preacher, I see what you're talking about. I see who you're talking about. That's what he said. I don't know much. I don't know a whole lot. I know I was blind. And I couldn't give myself sight. I could not save myself. But now I see. I see. Isn't it a blessing to be able to have spiritual eyes and see? Our Lord said, blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. You see who Christ is. You see that it's not a doctrine and it's a person. You see. And you know. And you understand. And they said to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Keep going back to that issue. How did he open thine eyes? And he answered them, I've told you already. I've told you twice. I've told you twice, and you didn't hear. Why didn't they hear? They didn't want to hear. Do they think if they ask this man enough times, he's going to change his story? He said, I've told you already and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Are you really interested in hearing? Do you want to be one of his disciples? Is that why you're asking this question? I wish they had been interested. Will you also be his disciple? Will you be a follower of this man? Then they reviled him and they said, thou art his disciple. But we're Moses' disciple. Boy, they answered that right, didn't they? You just try to give yourself sight by your good works. See how that works out. But they'd have been okay with that. They'd have been fine with it. We know that God spake unto Moses. Here they go speaking again. We know that God spoke unto Moses. But as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. I don't care how ignorant. I haven't seen him look into his men and said, I don't care how ignorant you are. You want to stay in your blindness? There's no denying the fact that God's done something miraculous here. There's no denying it. There's no denying it. Yet you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? We have no record of anybody else being eyes being opened that were born blind. What are you going to do with this? I believe this man is speaking in meekness and in sincerity. His heart may be broken. I mean, don't you know he's thinking, you would think everybody in the world would be tickled to death if this man could see. But they're not. Religion wants you to play religion. Religion wants you to be religious. They just don't want you to know God. They want you to be blind just like they are. But your sight reveals and exposes their darkness. Verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. It's like they came to our Lord. That man came to our Lord one day. He said, good master. And our Lord said, why'd you call me good? There's none good but one, and that's God. If I'm not God, I'm not good. And he's saying, if I'm good, I'm God. You know what he's saying? He said, if that man, I don't know much about him. He said, I don't know a whole lot. But if he's not of God, he couldn't do anything. Who is Jesus Christ? I tell you exactly who he is. He's God. First and foremost, he's God. God manifest among us. Only God can save a sinner. Only God can give sight to the blind. Only God can do that. And you know what they got to do? They got to deny that he's God. And they don't like it. They want somebody, they want to be God. Oh, thank God for the day you find out you're not God. And he's God. And you cannot give yourself sight. Spiritually, you can't do it. He said, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Most people have no clue who Christ is. That one that hung upon the cross, he's God. That one that they put in the tomb, he's God. That one that rose from the grave, he's God. That one that must make himself known to you, he's God. He's God. They answered and said unto him, verse 34, thou wast altogether born in sins. Did they not think they were? And thou going to teach us? That's what makes them upset. They've got their big degrees. They've been to school and they think they're so smart. They saw that Peter and John were unlearned and ignorant men, and they took knowledge that they'd been with Christ. This old poor beggar's probably standing there in his rags and he said, you think you're going to teach us? That's exactly how God will teach you. We have to find out we know nothing apart from his grace. Nothing. He said, did thou just teach us? And they cast him out. And when they cast him out, they cast out this man who has the truth and they don't want it. This man who's been healed, and they say, we don't want it. We don't want it around here. We won't have it. It makes us uncomfortable. Verse 35, and Jesus heard that they'd cast him out. And when he found him, Christ come looking for him. You imagine how low this man feels. I would have thought everybody had been excited. I would have thought everybody would have been excited. They knew I was an old beggar. Why did God save me? Why would he give me sight? Why would he do this for me? And they just want to turn on me. They just want to hate me. You know why they want to hate you? Because they hate him. You are a reminder to them that only God can do what he did. When Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Do you believe on the Son of God? I'll ask you a question tonight. Do you believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord?" He's standing right in front of him. And at this point, he doesn't know. You know when you will find out who he is? When he is pleased, like he did Joseph's brethren, to make himself known. But what I say, he did not leave this man alone. He said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." Why does this man believe? They shall be all taught of God. This man believed. Isn't that so? I think sometimes we read that word and it's so full of meaning, to believe. To believe. I believe, and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and he said, and they said unto him, they begin to question, is he talking to us? Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto him, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. I would put your sin away. I would make an atonement for your sin. But now you say, we see." And if that's what your statement is, if that's your confession, your sin remaineth. Men don't come to the light because they hate the light, because their deeds are evil. But he has exposed, he has pierced their darkness, and he's left them in darkness. What do I take from this? God enable us to act upon the light that he's given us. As this man did, he walked in the light. When Christ came to him, he said, "Who is he, Lord? I don't know him." He said, "I that speak unto you am he." And he fell at his feet, and he worshiped. And that's when you worship, when he makes himself known and opens our eyes. You know, we come to this book and we desire to see. I want to see Christ. And many times I come and it's like the scales is on my eyes. But thank God for the times he pulls it back and he says, "Yes." And you know what you do? You fold his feet and you worship him. May God enable us to worship our great Lord and our Savior, who is God.